Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 14 this morning, please. Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read verses 22 through 33 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. As you're finding your place, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Bible. God, thank you for prayer. Thank you for the Christian life. And I just thank you so much that you saved an old sinner like me those many, many 30-so years ago. God, it's such a great thing living for you and walking with you and having you work in our lives. Now, Father, we had asked this morning that you would work again in our lives through the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power so that he can be a help to us from the Word of God. Use the Bible to help us today. And, Father, if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray they would take care of that before they leave this room today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, you know about all the plagues and the tribulation. Noisome, terrible plagues that afflict people. If your cell phone goes off during the service, one of those plagues is going to hit you. So please, spare yourself the mercy, the trouble, and turn it to off or to vibrate and help us there, please. We'd appreciate that very much. Jesus is walking on the water, the disciples, 12 of them in the ship. The Bible says they're rowing and the wind's contrary to them. And Jesus, another passage in the Gospels, it said he would have walked right past them, walking across the tops of the waves. When they look up in the middle of the storm, they see Jesus out there and they cry out for fear, the Bible says. Then Jesus says, "It's me, it's I, be not afraid." And then it's Peter who says, "Lord, if that's you, bid me come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter slides down the side of that ship and just at the water level, he never gets his feet wet. And he starts walking on the water toward Jesus. And the Bible says he starts to look around and he sees the power and the boisterousness of the storm. And in fear, he takes his eyes off the Lord And the Bible says, very important to notice that, the Bible says, beginning to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus' hand is there. But again, I don't believe Peter ever got wet. And the Lord's hand is there. He catches Peter by the hand, and together they walk back together to the ship, get in. And as soon as he and Peter are inside the ship, the storm calms. Now, normally, this is one of those passages where we spend a lot of time talking about Peter and his faith to get out of the ship and his lack of faith that caused him to start to sink because he got his eyes on the storm instead of the Lord. A lot of good truths there, good truths. This morning, I want to talk to you about the 22 eyeballs that are in the ship over there. 11 disciples never even tried to get out of the ship. 11 disciples decided to, and here's the Sunday morning message, they decided to be spectator Christians. They'd rather watch it than try it. Now, we get on Peter, but you got to give the man, if you'll pardon a colloquial expression, you got to give him his props. He was willing to get out of the boat. Yeah, but Pastor, he took his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. Yes, and Jesus was right there to help him because he cried out immediately for help. You got to give Peter the credit. I want to talk about those disciples who decided they'd rather watch this thing than get involved. Because that's what happens in Sunday morning Christian churches. A lot of people who'd rather watch it than get involved. So cool April nights is going on. People like to look at old cars. If you like to do that, it's your business, whatever. The people who really get the enjoyment out of it are the people who spent the bazillion hours to make those old cars what they are and then to drive them around. But some people, they'd rather be spectators than participants. Now listen, I want to bring it right home to you this morning and to me and talk to you about what does it really cost you to be a spectator Christian, to just watch it. Most Christians would rather just watch it. They'd rather come to church and hear good music and listen to what's done here and listen to a sermon and get up and go home. And that's about it. You have to understand, that's the majority. One disciple walking water, 11 watching one disciple walking on water. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, Peter failed. At least he tried. Got to give him his credit for that, yes? And there's things that Peter would know, and we'll talk about this in a moment. These 11 disciples will never know, but they'll see it, but they won't know it. 11 disciples never left the ship. 11 disciples never walked on water. 11 disciples never failed, but then they never tried either. I like when an old preacher said one day, I'd rather sail and sink because I hit a rock than sit at the dock and rust out. 11 disciples, I'm not going to get any amens this morning. 11 disciples never knew the help of the Lord in getting back to the ship either. 11 disciples were spectators instead of participants because they decided they'd rather watch it than get involved. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's not. God did not save you for you to sit. You say, better watch out, Pastor Johnson. I only come here on Sunday morning and I'll just go somewhere else. Okay, now you have to understand, maybe you're new here. If you think like that, maybe you're new at Shasta Baptist Church. But let me help you. I'm not here trying to get you to come to this church. I'm trying to help you know what God wants for your life. And I'm not being fair to you if I'm just content with you being a spectator Christian and me not giving you a little shove to get you off of that so you can go on and find out something else God has for you. That's me not really loving you. So I'm not upset with you this morning. If you only come here Sunday morning, that's all you ever do. I love you. I appreciate you. I'm glad that you're here. But I'm telling you this. You're one of those 11 disciples who's watching this stuff instead of getting involved. You're missing something. And because of that, I'm not helping you by letting you be a spectator. You really don't want to spectate the Christian life. The people who watch us as we run our race down here, the only kind of spectating Christian we get to do anymore is when you die and you go to heaven. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now, like our brother Wallen, he's in heaven watching us today. His view of our church service is different than what it's been for many years. He's in the grandstands of heaven watching us down here while we run our race. Okay, when you get to heaven, you get to sit back and watch it. But till then, you need to get in on it. We need to get that idea out of our thinking that God saved me and now I have a church. Most people think that church is there for them, and it should be. But you should be there for it. That's the other side of this thing. Didn't get any amens on that one either. Okay, but it's the truth. Now, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in this. We'll get the idea that, well, hey, I show up every now and then. What do you want? Maybe I should have preached this next Sunday on Easter. That would have worked out even better. But those folks wouldn't even classify as spectators. They show up once a year. I'm talking about folks, you're here regularly, and I appreciate you, love you. But the truth is, don't get caught spectating the Christian life. Don't be a Christian spectator. Why? Several reasons. Number one, you're missing firsthand experience of Christianity. Say what you want to about Peter. He'll be the only one who'll ever know what it's like to walk on water. He'll be the only one. The other ones can say, well, I saw that. Saw it. So you're okay with that? Aren't you tired of just seeing what others have in the Christian life and you wonder why it doesn't really happen to you? Maybe you're okay with that. Maybe you are a spectator. You like that stuff where I just see what happens, but I don't have to get involved. Why is it Christians are spectator Christians? Well, look at the disciples. Maybe it's the obstacles or the opposition. It's, you know, hey, let's face it. It was safer in the boat. And there is a storm. And the Bible says the wind was contrary unto them. And have you ever noticed how there's always something contrary to our life going on? Isn't that true? Something. There's always some wind blowing contrary to us. Always. Some who get involved get beyond the obstacles and the opposition. And they just don't do what they're supposed to do. Others always seem to have a reason why. Well, it's windy out there. And there's waves slapping. And who wants to walk on water in the middle of a storm, for goodness sake? By the way, there's no reason for them to believe they couldn't. Jesus was already out there. So it wasn't like he said, okay, it wasn't Jesus in the boat going, when do you guys jump over there and try it? He's out there walking on the water. So he had already shown them that it could be done with God's help. So opposition and obstacles, I'm sorry, that's not a good reason to become a spectator. How about fear? Look how many times fear is mentioned in this passage. The wind is contrary, they're afraid. They see Jesus walking on the water, they're afraid. Fear, fear. What are you afraid of? Christians who get caught up in spectator Christianity, they have fears. Well, if I really get involved in going to church and doing what God wants me to do, what's that going to mean to my schedule? Totally mess it up. Overhaul it completely. But fill it with something that's actually worthwhile. Cool April Nights is over today, I think, or something. I don't know. I'm not into old cars, and I think they're very beautiful. You see some work, you think, man, that's a piece of work. That's a piece of art, to be frank and honest with you. All that kind of stuff. I'm not ridiculing that. I'm just saying, hey, when that's over, next week it's going to be something else, people. Pretty soon they get so bored they have to come up with pill bug races to keep people interested. I mean, and there's always something going on. And why is it people are so caught up in that stuff and the Lord's work goes on week in and week out? What are you afraid of? You're afraid you're going to actually get involved and actually come out of your little shell a bit and get... That's a fearful thing for people. But you don't have to fear that. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God could do something. Don't worry. He's not going to get you to do anything you shouldn't do. He'll help you. Is it that, though? Is it obstacles, opposition? Is it fear? Here's what makes most people spectator Christians, influence. How many guys out there walking on water? One. How many guys in the boat watching? 11. Oh, so there's more that rather spectate than participate. Oh, that's what it is. Your influences in your life have convinced you that since more would rather watch than participate. I mean, come on, you go to a football game. There's 22 guys out there fighting over an inflated pig bladder, and there's 55,000 people watching them do it. The idea is our influences. What's influence? Who is it? Bible says in Galatians, who did hinder you? What are your influences? See, I want people to, my influences are people who are going on for God. They're going to do something for the Lord. Their life isn't centered around, well, let me see, what's this going to cost me? How much time is this going to take out of my life? And what's the problem with showing up every now and then anyway? Those kind of folks, be honest with you, their idea of the Christian life is a Costco kind of Christianity. They have a membership card, but they only show up when they want the 492-pound bag of corn chips. And that's how a lot of people treat their church and the Lord's work and the Christian life. They'd rather spectate because that's how a lot of Christians are. You know what I'm talking about. They're Sunday morning kind of people. They show up at church, but when they go to work on Monday, they leave their Christianity at the church, like God lives in this building or something. And then their Christian life doesn't affect them in their Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday stuff. That's a whole nother life. Yeah, that's the vast majority of Christianity today, but that's the wrong kind of Christianity. I'm a child of God. Wherever I go, whatever I do, however I live my life, 24 hours. My salvation, my friend, wasn't given to me to be displayed like a museum relic on a church on a Sunday morning. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. When I got saved, God saved me and saved you too, my Christian friend. When you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, He gave you a salvation that's good from now, forever, everywhere you go and everything that you do. This influences in the Christian life that creates spectators out of people. No, I'm sorry. I'm not impressed with people who watch a sporting event and from the stands, bleachers, wherever they sit, can tell everybody on the field how they ought to be doing what they're doing. I played football in high school. Trust me, it's different down there than it is up there in the stands. It is very different. Everything looks good in the bleachers because you can see it all. Down there, you got 955,000 pounds of flying meat trying to tear your head off. It's a different thing altogether, is it not? Our influences. You know what happens when we decide to be spectator Christians? We do. We miss firsthand experience. Is it better to hear what God did in someone's life or to know it? Because God did that in your life. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where Peter ever bragged about walking on water. But He is the only one, you know. You missed firsthand experience of things. Now, I've told this story here and here, so pardon me if you've heard it. Years ago, Brother Evans and I were in Bible college together. Years ago, we used to go up to a Navy base in North Chicago and get sailors to come to church because they're the most heathen bunch of the branches. No question about that. Everyone says, all right, example, when someone says, cussing like a, there you go. So anyway, we go up there, and we bring 75 miles one way, we bring them back to church. We're coming back late one night from the base, and it had rained horribly in Chicago. And there in the Dan Ryan, the downtown of Dan Ryan, the freeways, instead of going up over the freeway, they dip the freeway under the overpass. And those underpasses they have under there on the freeway, they are connected to the sewer system in Chicago. So when it rains and it pours and pours, it'll go out to the sewer system and blah, blah, blah. But when it rains really hard, the sewer system backs up in those underpasses. We tried to drive a bus one night through one of these underpasses full of water. And it stalled. Now we're pulling it, and the steps on the bus like this. We watched this water, sewer water from Chicago, start coming up the steps into the bus, all the way to the top of the steps. And the bus is stalled in this backed up sewer water under an overpass in downtown Chicago. So there's half a dozen of us there. Brother Evans was there, he can tell you. We're sitting there and we're thinking, how are we going to get this bus out of here? We said, well, we got to push it out. And I looked at that sewer water and I go, I had two suits. I said, there's no way I'm ruining a good suit in sewer water in Chicago because it would be ruined. That would be the end of it. So he said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm taking my suit off. And this one guy goes, from West Virginia, forgive me, West Virginia. He goes, well, brother, you're going to be in your underwear. I said, I got more underwear. I don't have any suits. I got two suits. I ain't ruining my suit in that Chicago sewer water. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning. There's nobody around. So we go, So the 6 of us or 7 of us take our suits off, left our shirts and our ties on so we would be appropriate. So you got 6, 7 preacher boys in their underwear with a shirt and a tie on, and we start walking down into that Chicago sewer water. Squish, 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 squish. stink like you can't believe, ladies and gentlemen, things floating by. I will not describe for you because you ain't had lunch yet. Just trust me, it was backed up sewer water. Then you find out what kind of underwear guys wear. I never knew Brother Evans wore Spider-Man underwear until that day. I was amazed. But we're so we're down in the sewer, getting in front of the bus, we start pushing this thing back. And the water, one Matt Cabral, little short Mexican guy, buddy of mine, the water was right at the bottom lip. And he's blowing chunks away while we're trying to push this bus back up. We get it about halfway up out of the water, and somebody thought they got bit by one of these rats they got in Chicago, super rats with, you know, they got headlights and tow packages. They're big old stinking rats. And we jumped on the bus, and it rolled back into the sewer again. We had to get down, push it back up out of the sewer like that, and motion to the guy, Sam is driving the bus, motion to him, he sets the brake. We're standing there in the middle of the freeway, 2, 3 in the morning, downtown Chicago, in our underwear, white shirt, tie, soaked up to here, squishing the stuff off of our legs like this, and laughing at each other, thinking, boy, the president of the Bible College can see us now. And then the bus driver did like this, and we turned around, and there must have been 200 people on that overpass looking at these guys in their underwear with white shirts and ties on, pushing a bus out of the water in Chicago. So we just yelled, "We're Mormons," and went over and got on the bus. See, Pastor Johnson, if I get involved in the church, am I going to wind up pushing a bus out of the sewer in my underwear? I hope not. But do you understand, dear people? You honestly, you really need to get a hold of this thing. You're missing so much of what God could do with your life if you just quit watching this thing in the Christian life. Stop being a spectator. David's brothers saw their little brother, who they said should go home and take care of the sheep. They watched their little brother kill Goliath. They saw it. And they could say, "My little brother killed Goliath," instead of saying, "God used me to kill Goliath." Now you tell me which one's better. "Well, I'll tell you what, that he would have got killed." No. He won. The boy won. The brothers were wrong. The nation was wrong. Everybody was wrong. God was right. But he had to get down the Valley of Elah and charge that giant and see God used him, or else it just doesn't work. You got to stop this thing where we just sit back and watch the whole thing. Christian life, church, participation, all of it. Can't do that. You're missing too much now. Spectator Christians, they miss firsthand experience. You miss the encouragement of the Lord when Jesus is walking on the water and they go, "It's a ghost." Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. It's me." But it's only Peter who says, "Is that really you, Lord? Bid me come to you on the water." The other 11 guys, they're still scared to death. They're still fearful about the storm. They're still hiding. They still have fear. They're missing God's encouragement. I'm not saying God doesn't care about you, friend, if you're a spectator Christian. I'm saying this: you're missing a lot of the encouragement that you need on frontline Christianity, where you're out there doing what you need to do, a little more involved than just, if your life, your Christian life, doesn't cost you any more than showing up to a church on a Sunday morning, friend, you're missing something. And one of the things you're missing is how God comes and comforts and encourages and strengthens those who get very close to Him. The closer you get to God, the greater the comfort and the encouragement. Because you're going to need it. And He'll provide it. No, I'm sorry. We see so many churches today, they're back off on their church service and their participation. So they back off to it. One time a week and then cell group things at home. And it doesn't cost you anything. You can go to those churches. You can be involved. They're the largest churches in America today. You know why? Minimum output, maximum return. Well, then, Pastor, if that's what people want, then give it to them. I'm sorry, but that's not the call of a disciple. A disciple is a disciplined one. Jesus took those who were willing to take an extra step and get closer and participate more. He took those to the next level. It's Peter, James, and John who are at the Mount of Transfiguration. It's Peter and John who are at the tomb at the resurrection. It's John at the foot of the cross. I'm sorry, but all those spectators, where are they in history? What are the names of all those other disciples anyhow? Well, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, not Luke. He wasn't one of the disciples. Matthew, Mark, and John. Yes, but John was already in the inner circle of things. What about all the rest of those guys? What about Bartholomew? What about Matthias? What about those names you have never heard in your entire life? They were in the boat. And you know where they were? They missed it. They saw it but didn't get in on it. The closer you get to God, that in His presence is fullness of joy. I'm sorry, but it's exciting. I'm not going to apologize for a minute that my life is centered around the will of God and what He wants me to do. I'm not going to apologize for that at all, because God does great. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. You know what happens when you're a spectator Christian? You miss the lessons that you could learn if you get out there on the water. Yeah, right, failure. Seriously, did Peter fail? Did he get wet? He learned something. Beginning to sink. Lord, save me. Well, those guys in the boat didn't need that, because they had secured themselves by their own will and way. But not Peter. Look, he got out there because Jesus got him out there. He was able to walk on water because Jesus helped him to walk on water. And when he started to sink, guess who he knew who to talk to? He turned around and yelled back at the boat, "Hey, fellas, I'm in trouble." No. Okay, he took his eyes off the storm. And yes, I understand, he got fearful about some things. But when the fear came, who did he go to? Same one got him out of the boat. Same one that got him on the water. I guess he learned some stuff. Huh. Yeah, you learn some stuff when you stop spectating in Christianity. Prayer doesn't just work, ladies and gentlemen. Prayer is the means whereby a child of God can go to their heavenly Father and come boldly under the throne of grace, that may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Prayer is that ability that you can go to God, my friend, and the God of heaven will move mountains to get done what must be done. But you don't get that spectating. You got to get on those knee bones and get a hold of God and let Him use you. See, you miss lessons that you'll need. Why would I want a lesson of failure, Pastor Johnson? Because often you learn more from failure than success. Think about all the great lessons you've learned in your life. How many of them came after a time where something really good happened to you in life? There would be some, no question. If you got any sense, hey, you learn lessons from God's goodness as well as God's difficulties brought in your life. When God blesses you, there's a lesson to be learned there, yes? Yeah, I got what I want. You didn't learn anything. God blesses me. First thought in my mind is, now what am I supposed to do with this? And I don't mean, what can I run out and buy? I mean, why did God bless me with this? There must be something. Somebody must need something. You learn lessons. Peter began to sink. That beginning to sink principle, that is so powerful. See, the disciples on another journey, another ship, another storm, only this time Jesus is with them. And the Bible says when the waves began to lap up over the side of the ship, and when the ship was now full, then they went to Jesus and asked Him for help. I guarantee that was before this event. Because Jesus learned, Peter learned, I'm not waiting until the boat's full this time. I'm starting to sink. It's me, it's Jesus or nothing. Hey, that's a good lesson to learn. All you have is Jesus. And this is a bad thing? Somebody from another Baptist-type church here in our city was upset with us about something. Maybe some crack about the city council. I don't know. But anyway, and their comment to me was, well, you're just an independent Baptist church. That's all you are. I said, yes, God made, God instituted, follow the Bible, do what the Bible tells us we're supposed to do. I wasn't aware that was a bad thing. We're not a denominational church. A church that stands by the blessing and the power and the help of God. Follow the Bible without apology. No excuse. No, we're not just an independent Baptist church. We are a church that follows the principles of God's Word. And it's just us and Jesus. That's all it is. Because that's how we live our lives. It's just us and Jesus. Yes? And that's all we need. But you don't learn that in the boat, friend. You learn that out there when you start to sink. Yeah, failure can teach you great lessons. Hey, it was, Lord, save me. And the Lord said, well, you call my people will call your people, and we'll try to get together. Check me out on Twitter. The Lord said, let me get you to check my Facebook and see if you're one of my friends or not. Or not, we can get together on this thing. When Peter said, Lord, save me, immediately, the Bible said, instantly, Jesus was right there. That's a good lesson to learn. Huh? right there for you, friend, right there. But you got to get out on the water. Those guys in the boat never knew that one. You understand, spectating Christianity isn't going to help you. And you learn differently from failure than success. You know what happens when you spectate your Christianity, friend? You miss special opportunities with the Lord. Only Peter would know what it was like to walk on the water to the Lord and to walk on the water with the Lord. I wonder which one he liked better. Walking on the water to the Lord. Hey, look at this, guys. Hey, look at this. Oh, look at that. Oh, wait a minute. What am I out here? Storm. Lord, save me. And then Jesus and him walking back. I don't see Peter scared now. With Jesus, hand in hand, arm in arm, walking back to the ship together. Woo! Now that's pretty special, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Okay, look, there's a special opportunity with the Lord for those who decide to not spectate the Christian life. You're going to find a closeness to the Lord you're not going to find anywhere else. Closeness and obedience and honoring Him in your life. When you take what you believe, my friend, my child of God, friend, and you take it from this church to your home, and you open your Bible, and you walk with God, and you live for the Lord, and you go to work, and you don't take the boss's nickel and witness on his dime. Don't do that. That's not right. But you go to work, and you take what you believe to work. There's people here yesterday at Jim Walden's funeral got saved because Jim Walden witnessed a testimony, had a testimony with those men, and they trusted Christ and got saved. Now, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but that's how Christianity is supposed to work. Special opportunities with the Lord. Peter knew that. The rest of them wouldn't. And then the last thing, I want you to look at verse 32 we finished. And look, he says, at the end of this whole thing, Jesus, Peter, walking back to the ship, in verse 32, it says, when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Oh. Did Jesus calm the storm? Yes. Was Peter a part of that? Yes, he was. Because the Bible said they came back in the ship together. And when they came together into the ship, then the Lord calmed the storm. Guess what you'll get to do? Listen now, you stop spectating the Christian life, there'll be people whose life storms, you'll help, God will use you to help calm the storms of their life. Those other 11 guys will stand there and go, wow, that's pretty good. And they bow down and worship the Son of God. Peter was on his face with the rest of them. But had it not been for Peter's willingness and his willingness to get out of the ship, friend, had it not been for that, those other 11 disciples may not have ever known the calming of the storm. Jesus got back in the ship to get Peter back in there. He was already, the Lord's direction was already set. He was going to the other side without the ship. But to help Peter, he got him back in the ship. And because Peter needed the help, Jesus helped the other guys too. That's how it works. It's not about, look at me, what I did. It's not about what I've accomplished and what I've done. It's about what God does through our lives to help other people. You're spectator Christians. You understand. You're getting what you want out of Christianity. But you're not, the Lord's not getting what He wants out of your Christianity. You miss being a part of the working of God to help people in their life. These are the 11 disciples. They'll get down on their face and say, you know, He is the Son of God. Yes, and it'll be because one of them decided to get out of the boat and take a walk, and the Lord helped him. I'd like to just say this morning, don't worry about it. Do what you want with the Christian life. Live how you see best. Show up when you want to at church and everything will be fine. But I'm not your friend if I tell you that. Because I'm not helping you to understand the fullness of all that God has for you. And I wouldn't care about your soul, your life, or anything else. Going to church isn't going to make you a Christian. You understand that? Trusting Christ as your Savior, that makes you a Christian. But how you live the Christian life is whether or not you're willing to stop watching it and get involved in it and stop spectating. That's why the most popular churches today in America, largest churches today in America, they're spectator churches. You can go, sit, show up, get a little wing ditty. Dr. Reverend Wiggle Lips will get up there and share a thought with you. Smiley Joe Beams, he'll get up there and smile on you a while. They'll put on a show that'll rival anything that happens in Vegas or Hollywood. And you can sit there and get up and go home, and that's it. No one's going to challenge you about your life. And you know those dear people are going to miss so much in the Christian life. But around you this morning, there are a bunch of Christians who decided a long time ago Jesus didn't save them to sit them. He saved them to serve them. And they've taken their Christianity to their life and what they do. None of us perfect. But I'd rather try walking on water and fail than sit back and watch the whole thing go on. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning, would you?